right, yeah. We'll be in touch.
Yes, welcome to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, sitting in my car with two people that are twins, the Nelson twins, ladies and gentlemen. Yay.
Oh,
Chris,
for having us,
Justin.
Thank you, Dave. Great to be here in your car out the front of the Grandview Hotel.
We've just done the first night of the Comedy Festival, and you guys were fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Both of us?
Yeah, I think, well, someone had a dud mic. I had a fucking mic. Who had the dud? Who had the?
That was me. Yeah, thanks for that, Dave. Were you responsible for setting
yes,
up the mic?
Yes, I was. Yeah. And I should have tested it better. That's all I can say. No, that's not proper use
that's
of English.
All right. That's all right, mate.
But it still went well.
It did. You always have a lovely crowd. Always.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah, they were great. There was a lot of giveaways in there because I went on Nova and gave away some tickets, but they were still good. Because sometimes free tickets, people are like, whatever. But they were good.
Well, I don't think you'll have to worry about the freebies tomorrow night, mate, with Dave Hughes coming down.
Oh, mate, you can't be advertised.
This podcast
we're
will
going
come
out later. Exactly, I know. Just don't advertise me. You can't advertise me. All right, whatever. No, it was good. I'm trying to remember when I first met you guys. That's what I do on this podcast. And I might have been to the Comics Lounge. Do you reckon it was...
No, I reckon...
We were talking about this today on our way to the show. Chris, would you please tell everyone our first run-in with Dave?
Well, I can't quite remember. It was some small room in the northern suburbs, and you had just finished radio. All right, you got fired. And you were back doing stand-up.
I never stopped doing stand-up, but yeah, I got back into it in a big way. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, and that's... I reckon that would have been... Was that 11, 12 years ago? 10 years
yeah,
ago? You
yeah,
got back
yeah.
into it big...
2008 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 2010 maybe. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And Chris, tell everyone the story that you were telling me.
All right. So I remember working with you once there, and then Justin and I, we run a little booking agency. We book some comics, and I remember booking you for the first time we ever booked you. It was at our cricket club in Flemington. And I remember you asked me for the cash before you went on because you didn't know me and you were like, fuck, am I going to show up here?
Yeah, yes.
And I come out to greet you in the car park and I'm like, Dave, how are you? And you're like, yeah, you got me cash.
Really? No, that was Hughesy, I think.
Yeah.
I
was one of the Daves from comedy.
Yeah, it was one of us. Flemington.
Flemington Cricket Club. Yeah, you did Flemington Cricket Club.
Where is that?
In Flemington, surprisingly enough.
Oh, that one in Flemington. Yeah, right. Yeah.
We tried to get you for a game, but you weren't having it.
No, I can't play cricket. Occasionally I get people asking me to play footy. You guys actually go and turn up and play games, don't you?
Yes, we do. We haven't done so much of it over the last few years, although we did play one 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
Yeah,
in Albury.
Yeah, and I was playing on Terry Danaher. It was a game for charity, and Terry Danaher's 61, and he kicked a goal on me in the first 30 seconds, and then in the first 90 seconds, I tore my calf, and I was off the ground.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah. I went to one of those where Cuda was there for the Nutter Wadding Football Club, and I think he did his ankle in the first 10 minutes, so you know, they blew their $8,000 or whatever they paid for it. Cuda, mate. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I wonder what room that was where I met you, in the northern suburbs, you reckon?
Oh, one of the many comedy rooms that have come and gone. Well, speaking of Yarraville, Dave, you and I, we had that in common.
We both lived in
Yarraville.
Seddon, which is next to Yarraville.
Yeah.
Well, my wife used to say Seddon. No, she used to say Yarraville and I used to say Footscray because no one knew where Seddon was.
Well, yeah. Well, I actually used to live in Footscray, and when I was talking to girls out at the pub, I would always tell them that I lived in Yarraville.
Yeah, it sounds
a little bit better.
It sounds a bit better, yeah. But we had Footscray's postcode.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, I'm a twin as well.
Like, yeah.
People listening may not know, but my twin's not funny. So, and he lives in Switzerland, and he's quite skinny, but, you know.
I've got to be the judge of that, Dave.
You've met him. You've met Glenn.
We did ABC radio. Yeah.
That's when I asked him what he did for a job, and he said, it's quite hard to explain what I do for a job on the radio. It's like, come on, mate. We're on the ABC. Have a crack. And so he explained what he did.
Well, that's a weird thing with you and your twin is that you sound different. Justin and I sound the same, but you and your twin have a completely different accent.
He's been overseas for over 20 years, so he's got that international accent. Yeah, it's that kind of accent now. So, yeah, you're right. You're right. We couldn't do a comedy act. The only thing we ever did together was we were in a band together in the 80s, but we weren't that funny. But I got him to do the... you know, I went to Weight Watchers and lost all this money, lost all this weight. So I got him to put on my pants and hold them out. Like, look at me, I've lost so much weight.
What was your band name?
Noiseworks.
Captain Noiseworks?
Captain Coco, sorry. I always say Noiseworks as a joke. Do you remember Noiseworks? Yeah. I wasn't in them. Didn't even support them. Captain Coco. We weren't very good. But I remember what it was like being in a band is similar to being a comedy act in a way. And you know, you spend a lot of time with each other. You do gigs, some good gigs, some bad gigs. So yep. I get it. Because how did you guys get into comedy? I know you're both teachers. So again, I study teaching. There's a lot of comedians and ex-teachers.
We were actually inspired by the great Tom Seagate, Dave Fulton, and Troy Kinney.
Yes,
down to our cricket clubs to do a comedy night.
They had a name for that comedy act. It was called
Ear Candy.
Yeah, I've had them on the show before. We've discussed it. The Ear Candy days.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened to those guys. I don't know if they went on to bigger, better things.
Never heard. I don't know. I've never heard of them. Troy Kinney, Dave Thornton, Seagate, the suburban footballer. Yeah, right. And so you saw them.
Yeah, well, Chris jumped up and emceed the night and did reasonably well. And then afterwards, we thought we could do this. And we decided that we'd do comedy as a double act.
Yeah.
And the rest is history,
as they say, yes.
Yeah. And there aren't many twins in the business. There's the guys from Canberra, the Stevenson experience.
Yeah, the Stevenson experience.
But you guys look funny. That's the thing. When you come on, for people who don't know...
Our jokes aren't funny.
You've got funny jokes, but you look like, you know, I don't know, cross between Ned Kelly, Bush Rangers... You know, that kind of thing.
But a little bit beers. Brunswick hipster as well.
Yeah, you could easily be mistaken for hipsters. That's true. Well, sometimes when you see a hipster, you go, is that a hipster or a bogan? I can't tell these days. Because they sort of have blended a bit.
Yeah.
Like, you'll go and do footy clubs in the country, and there'll be guys that look like hipsters, but they work as, like, tree loppers. Or, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And so then where did you do your first gig?
The Comics Lounge in North Melbourne, which is still going.
Now, I have to tell you about this, Dave. Our first gig... was an absolute killer. We invited all our mates and they thought we were hilarious.
Oh, really?
Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah,
and then we went to our second show, which was at the Gun Island Hotel in St. Kilda, around St. Kilda.
Yeah. That was a shit gig, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, we were shit.
I remember getting up on stage. We had no mates there.
Yeah.
And we'd been up on stage for about 5 minutes and someone yelled out, bring the MC back on.
Oh, bullshit, really?
Yeah.
Often the second gig, my second gig was terrible. My first gig was good like you guys. Because you're running on adrenaline. I had mates there too in my first gig. So you're running on adrenaline and they're supporting you. And then the second one can be a wake-up call.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what the fuck? And so then what was the third one like?
I can't even remember.
They all sort of blend in. I think we've done probably 1,500 shows now, 2,000 shows. I don't know. You lose count.
But yeah.
And you forget sometimes where you've been. And often you go for a drive out into the suburbs and you turn up and you go, oh, shit, I've done this before.
Yeah, that happens to me. Yeah. That happens to me. And, of course, I'm so old and I've been in comedy for 30 years. Sometimes they refurbish the rooms or change them around. I'm like... No, fuck, I've done this joint. I swear I've done it. And then you get a flashback. You're like, oh, yeah, it was terrible. Fuck. Well,
we did Laylaw Footy Club, I think it was, two years ago. And for some reason, we didn't realise that we were booked in again to do the next year. We turned up there, and Jus and I go, well, we've got some new jokes, but we just had to do 30 minutes of audience impro.
Oh, yeah.
And we just got lucky that night.
that was the famous one where I had a shot, one of the worst gigs I've ever done. Where I did a joke about Lance Whitnall and his mum was in the crowd.
Yeah.
And she fucking came at me with her tongs. She was manning the dim sim stand. Oh, it was traumatic. Brad Oakes and me did it, and then the president gets up and goes, well, round of applause for the comedians. They're pretty fucking terrible.
Did you get paid?
We got paid, but, oh. Might have been one of those ones in the car park where he asked for some of the money back. You know, one of those. Oh, no thanks. It was just, it was miserable. Anyway, so go on.
No, sorry, Dave. I was just going to say, speaking of not getting paid, we've only not been paid once, Chris, haven't we?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, we got paid half the fee.
We got paid half the fee, yes.
Yeah.
And we won't mention the football club's name, but they had a lot of trouble in 2012. And we went to the MCG to do a pre-game function for them. And they said, whatever you do, don't mention anything about the incident in 2012.
Oh, what was that? I'm trying to work out.
The Essendon drug saga.
Oh, Essendon. Yeah. Yeah. So as I always say, Don the sash and get on the hash. That's your slogan. Essendon joke.
I always say to Dustin Fletcher when we're working with him, I say, mate, I would have started asking questions when you were turning up underneath a bridge and Amy Winehouse turned up.
So what happened? You did some drug jokes.
Well,
and...
we got to the end of the show and we had an absolutely killer gig, didn't we, Chris?
Yeah, it went great.
Really well. And then when the check turned up a couple of weeks later, we emailed them and they said, oh, we're withholding half your fee because you didn't stick to the brief.
Bullshit.
Yeah,
you know what? AFL clubs are the worst.
Yeah.
They are the worst. When you do Carlton, they give you a list of jokes you cannot do.
Yeah.
I did Carlton once, and I did two gigs. I did the old Carltonians at the MCG, and they were great because they're all guys my age, Carlton, Italian dudes. They just love the Carlton Football Club. And the fat guy, the president, was down the front. He was eating this bit of chicken, and I go on. You know, sometimes they push for time, you got to go with anything. And he was the only one still going, and I just stopped like a mate. I don't think there's any meat left on that bone. And it was such a good gig. Then I went next door, virtually through a door, into the president's lunch. And this is what I always do at those gigs. There's a group of guys sitting on a table. I always go, oh, we've got the underbelly section over here. Check out these blokes. You know, and they loved it. The old Carltonians, because a lot of Italians and stuff. I did the same joke in the president's. They were like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you know how the woman sort of, you know how they sort of push you off? You know, the woman takes you, oh, thank you for that, that was great. And sort of pushes you back. Which like makes you.
And all that. Leads you to the lead.
Pushes you. Yeah, thank you for that, that was great. That was really good, they really enjoyed it.
We'll be
they
in
did,
touch.
Yeah, they'll do it. AFL clubs
and
are
then
just.
When you try to get your testimonial off and they don't return your
I tell you, I found the AFL clubs. Local clubs are much better because you do whatever you want local clubs.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
If we're doing the AFL clubs or any professional sports team, we often insist on just doing the players rather than having all the support network. It's much more fun to go in. We did a gig for St Kilda. It was fantastic. It was just the 40 players on the list and you can cut loose. But the minute you've got staff in there, you don't want human resources in there when you're doing
the show. Oh, I know. HR. I always say, is HR writing a report right now?
Yeah.
I did Collingwood. I've done it on the podcast with Hallier and Oaksie. And, of course, those guys are big Collingwood fans. I don't give a shit about Collingwood. And I didn't know a lot of who they were. I didn't know who they were. Because I kept calling DeGoey the Make-A-Wish kid. Like, I kept saying, because he was wearing an apricot jumper. Now, he's one of the stars of Collingwood, for people that don't know. I didn't know that. And he looks quite young, too. Yeah. I'm like, oh, look at the Make-A-Wish kid. And there was a bloke with curly hair, like sort of an afro, who's playing at the moment. But he was not playing a lot at the time.
Chris Mayne.
And I said, do you actually play, mate? Or were you just hanging around? Because he's quite slight. So anyway, good times. Yeah. You know the worst? Okay, this is when I didn't get paid for a gig. The only time they cut my money, I did a guy who owned like Pixie Photos, so school photos business. Wasn't Pixie Photos. Was a similar business. And he had a lot of franchisees. And he was Top Gun. His business was based in Wagga, I think. And anyway, they had a function in Melbourne and it was fancy dress and he was there with his wife, but there was a considerable age difference.
Yeah.
Like, I just went, oh, like he looked 60 and she looked 30.
Yeah.
And so I just said, oh, he's a bit of a, hey, are you the PE teacher and the student? I said, yeah. And everyone was pissing themselves. And then I said, is it because you're developing the photos in the lab, you just age a lot, mate, in all those chemicals? Anyway, I remember going home to my partner saying, that gig could have not gone better.
Yeah.
The next day, the woman from the speaker's agency goes, what happened last night? And I go, I don't know, I had a great gig.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I heard. But Rolf, whatever his name is, very angry, he doesn't want to pay you. So I had to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
Because I insulted the boss.
Yeah.
That's a mistake. I always go easy now on the bosses.
Yeah, I always just get me money up front and then...
Well, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea either. Not a bad idea at all. You guys, you did TV. Australia's Got Talent.
We did. 2012.
And you got some notoriety from that. Then you went to America and did something over there.
Justin, do you want to tell that story?
He's not keen.
No, he's not keen. I'll tell the story. So just before Christmas, Justin and I went to America and did a show called The World's Best with James Corden, the host, Drew Barrymore, Faith Hill. And,
were they the judges?
Yeah, they were the judges, yeah.
What did they make of you guys?
Well, funnily enough, they loved us. And 2 weeks ago, we got the call that they were chopping us out of the show. Everything's been left on the floor. Yeah. So us and another half a dozen acts, they just didn't have room for us, so they just chopped us. So we went to America again, thinking it was going to be our big break. And, here we are.
That can happen in show business, though, can't it?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
But, I'd already spent the money.
But you had a good time. I saw some photos.
Yeah, we had a great time. We've had a couple of hard luck stories. We did a series for National Geographic.
That's right.
Yeah, called How to Win at Everything.
And what happened to that?
Well, they got us in and they said, we absolutely love your comedy, so we're going to get you to do this 15-part series. By the way, we're voiceovering it. So we had to Charlie Chaplin our way through 15 episodes, which you can imagine when you can't speak as a comedian, you lose a little bit of your skill.
Okay, so you couldn't speak?
No, yeah. We couldn't be funny. That was the...
Yeah.
Has it kind of gone to air, this show?
Yeah, or? Yeah, it went to air. And we were hoping to get another series, but we didn't. It was funny enough how it worked. The host of the show, I can't remember his name, but we never even met the guy.
Yeah, they do it all later.
He did it all in a studio, in a probably got 20 times the amount of money we got. Yeah. So, I thought we were going to be the next David Attenborough. But,
what happened? Exactly.
Instead, we're sitting in Dave O'Neill's car.
In Fairfield.
At 11 p.m.
At 11 p.m. on a Friday night.
Talking about what could have been.
What could have been. Yeah, but you'd be perfect for sort of, you know what you'd be perfect for? A show like Blankety Blanks or somewhere like that, where they go to you for jokes. Or what was that one, Celebrity Squares?
Yeah.
You know, for short, quick jokes.
Yeah.
Because that's where a double act can work really well.
Well, it's funny. I can remember years ago there was a show on Channel 7 and I saw the ads for it or saw something on the internet that said this show was casting for people. It was called Double Take. And so it's a comedy show called Double Take. I rang up my agent. I said, hey, you've got to get us on this. We're twins, comedy show called Double Take. And he rang him up and he said, I don't think the boys are the right fit. I'm thinking, well, if a comedy show called Double Take and we don't fit that profile, then I don't know what we can do. Anyway, you'd only did one series.
Yeah, stuff Double Take. I remember the name, but I don't remember anything about Double Take. Yeah, that's interesting. But you'd be perfect for sort of cameos too.
Yeah.
In movies or... some kind of
thing. We'll do anything for cash, Dave.
anything at all.
Well, the last movie audition we did was for a movie based out of Finland, and originally it was just us speaking in an English accent, but then we did our first casting and they said, we love what you do, we want you to speak in Finnish. And of course, far out, we don't have great acting range as it is. And so when they sent through the brief and said, we love you, can you just do these half a dozen, 10 lines in Finnish, we were like, listen, I don't think this is our thing.
It's gonna be hard.
We did actually have a Skype interview though with the producer.
Really?
The
And so the first thing he said was, hey boys, we don't have much money for this movie. It's like, here we go.
What a great start.
I don't think I got off to a good start with them because we read through the script and they asked me, they said, what did you think of the script? And I said, look, this is probably one of the best horror movie scripts that I've ever read. And they went, it's a comedy.
Oh, no. The finish, I don't know.
Yeah,
I got asked to audition for an American sitcom once, but you had to do an American accent.
Yeah.
I said, I can't do it. I'm not Eric Banner. You know, I don't think I could do it. Yeah, because we can all do bad American accents, but to do it in a show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know people do it. I know actors do that.
Yeah.
I suppose they go to coaches that help them.
Well, a lot of them have done 4 years of acting classes. NIDA.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
The great Greg Fleet, of course.
Fleety can, his dad was American, I think. So, he's NIDA graduate. That's right. Yeah. Oh, wow. Look, you're listening to The Debrief here with the Nelson twins. We're sitting in my car outside the Grand View. I'm not giving you a lift home. Normally I give you a lift home, but you guys, where are you going?
Well, I'm off to Keilor. Justin's in Sunbury.
Well, no, I can't give you a lift home.
That's all right. I'm used to giving Chris a ride home. I have to detour out of my way hours and hours.
That's an interesting story in itself because Justin and I, we used to take it in turns of driving to each gig.
Yeah.
And so one of us was driving, the other one would be having a few beers, and that was how it worked.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, and I got sick of that, so I just sold my car.
Yeah. Right. But do you must get upset with each other, though. But I suppose, like brothers, you have that unwritten kind of thing that brothers have, that I would have with my brothers.
We get upset with
these
each other.
These guys think we're an Uber.
Yeah.
They think we're an Uber. with two guys with beards and a fat guy in it. Yeah. Boys, Uber's taken.
We get upset with each other a lot, but the last 2 years, Justin and I have figured out that it's no good if we fight each other. It just doesn't help what we're doing.
You've actually punched on?
I ended up in the emergency room at, I can't remember which hospital it was. Justin's girlfriend dropped me off. Justin and I had been having a few little arguments, and we always know when it's coming along. It just sort of builds up and builds up.
Sure.
And I was in the lounge room at Justin's house. I was leaning down to pick something up out of my suitcase, and he just come flying in, cracked me. And I was 3 months post knee reconstruction, so once he got me on the ground, I couldn't get up. And one of our heads went through the wall, and Justin punched me. I don't know how many times in the head, but punched me severely in the eye. I couldn't see because there was blood everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And Anyway, Justin said, oh, look, we're all done. My girlfriend will drop me off at the hospital. And I went into the emergency room. And, of course, they looked at me and said, what happened? And I said, I fell off a ladder.
Yeah, yeah.
And then someone goes, no, you're one of the Nelson twins. Did your brother punch you? And I went, fuck!
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I have fun with that. Yeah.
And that was the last time that we had a fight. I think as you get older and have your own kids, you kind of realise that sort of behaviour...
It's not good for the kids.
Nah, you've got to leave it behind.
Little Nelson's looking out of his cot. What's Daddy and Uncle doing?
Yeah.
What's going on over there?
Yeah. So that was 3 years ago, and we haven't had a fisty fight since then.
Yeah, my brother, I got a bump in my nose when my twin brother punched me when I was about 14. So.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about brothers. You know, there can be fights and that stuff.
Yeah.
But you must enjoy working together then.
Not really.
Not really.
I'm kind of hoping we can wrap this podcast up.
Yeah. We will, don't worry. I want to
drive off and leave Chris in the front seat and you have to drop him home, Dave.
Anyway, you are listening to The Debrief. We'll be back. Hey, this is Dave O'Neill.
And Glenn Robbins.
And we do a podcast called Somehow Related.
And we talk about two random topics that you wouldn't think were related, but in actual fact, they are.
Yes, it's a great podcast. We love it. We listen to it ourselves.
Come along, join in. Don't bet, don't gamble, but
don't
learn
Google.
Something. And if you go to a dinner party, you've got a perfect way to start a conversation.
So many facts to bore people with on this podcast. Tune in, Somehow Related. We're back on The Debrief with the Nelson twins. They're a great act. Go and see them. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook. Now, I ask these questions to everyone, and I got them off the internet. They're debrief questions. What went well tonight and why in your act? What do you reckon? What went well?
Well, before we start about what went well, what was hard for us is Danny McGinlay was on before us, and Danny's great guy, great comic.
Yeah.
The audience absolutely loved him. There was
so much
applause. And as a comedian, when you have to go on after someone who has done so well, you've really got to bring your A game. So
it's
I felt
true.
The pressure right from the word
right,
go.
I felt
as though I had to have an extra coat before I went on stage to get the bubble up so that we could match Danny McGinlay.
Yeah, he was on fire. He was great. But you guys were good. They loved you.
Yeah, we were solid. Yeah, definitely solid.
Absolutely.
Justin's microphone was a little bit lighter than
mine. That's in the third question. Organisational hazards have gotten away. Yeah, that mic was annoying.
Yeah, you're not really winning at technology.
No, because I tested it out and it didn't sound that bad. But then when I kept thinking, should I go on stage and, you know...
We've had heaps worse because we did a show at lunchtime today and we turn up there and the guy said we've only got one microphone, which you can't use.
As a double act.
As a double act, you need two. So we have to go off mic, which we have done a lot over the years. You just have to scream. And at the end of the day...
I do gigs without mics.
Yeah.
It's okay, but if anything goes bad, if you get a heckler, you lose your power.
Yeah, you do.
Well, exactly, yeah. But this reminds me of the time that we turned up to do a gig. I think it was for the Gyms franchise and they had one microphone and another... lapel microphone.
Oh, fantastic.
To a stick.
Did you use it?
No.
We often find that we'll start, sometimes with the second microphone, there's usually some technical issues. So often we'll start a gig and we'll have to dump the microphones because you start getting the feedback.
Yeah. I've seen you do that before.
Yeah.
In this very room, I think, in the crowd. Well, what didn't go well in your act?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Chris, you pushed the boundaries tonight, didn't you?
I did.
It was funny.
I did. I pushed the boundaries.
And you had a crack at them for being middle class.
Yeah. I called them a bunch of middle class motherfuckers.
City,
But we probably didn't do as much banter. Justin and I like to banter a bit between ourselves, aside from the jokes.
You did at Lilydale a lot.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, for some reason tonight, we didn't get as much banter going. So
yeah, well, I think that was a bit to do with my microphone. Because
that fucking mic.
Really heard, so.
No, your jokes did well, though. Even though your mic was at a lower volume, your joke still did really well.
Yeah. Well, with respect to your crowd, they're a very smart crowd, which helps when you're telling one line of jokes.
They're not that smart, but they're good. They're good. Yeah, they're just average people.
I found they really responded to our intellectual cock jokes.
Yeah, they liked it. Well, how can we do better next time? Get a better second mic, I think I'll answer.
Yeah, that'd help.
I think that'd be better, wouldn't it?
It's always a great gig. We always love doing the Grandview Hotel.
Mate, you guys are funny. You've got such a unique act. You should be very famous, but you know. You're not yet.
Yeah. Not yet.
Could you
talk
to Husey for us?
I talk to Husey. But Huseys can't do that. You know, what am I going to do? Put them on my show? Or you know what would be perfect for you is stand-up spots on TV.
Yeah.
So when I started, you could do New Faces for a start, which was the version. It was like Australia's Got Talent. But you know what? It was easier because it was in a TV studio with about 400 people, and they just got a lot of singers and a girl on roller skates. And when you came out and did jokes, they loved it because it was just something different, you know. Yeah. Bert loves comedy, so I did it with Bert Newton. But then I also did Midday twice, the Midday Show. Remember the Midday Show?
And used to watch. I can remember Jack Levi, Elliot Gobler.
Yes, and that was good because it was on during the day. Not a lot of people saw it, but it was a great test run for a spot at night.
Yeah.
And you got a good showreel out of it, you know what I mean? The first time I went on, it was fantastic. I smashed it. But I'd only been doing comedy for about 4 or 5 years. I only had really one good 5-minute set for TV.
Yeah.
And so they said, oh, you were great. Can you come back like in a month? I'm like, yeah, no worries. I came back. I didn't have very good material. Yeah. And there was a whole crowd of Japanese tourists too, just staring at me. And the guy actually said, oh, I think you're going to get bumped. The interview with, you know, the bloke who runs Clean Up Australia has gone too long. Then he comes back, no, you're on. And then he said, I think you're going to get bumped. But don't worry, the crowd's no good. They're no good. You don't want to go on anyway, mate. You don't want to go on. Then 5 minutes later, he goes, no, you're on. Come on. You got to go.
It's always interesting who's in your crowd. You were saying that Japanese people. Justin and I went over to Thailand, and we did the opening for the Aussie Bar in Bangkok.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we roll up there, and half the crowd is Thai and doesn't speak any English. Thinking, why have you brought a comedy act in to do...
How'd it go?
Oh, terrible. Yeah. Absolutely terrible,
They didn't listen, they talked?
They didn't listen, for one, because they couldn't understand what we were saying.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
But we had a good trip anyway.
But also, there was Tonight Live also. You could do stand-up. I didn't do stand-up audition for that, but I didn't get on. Hey Hey, I did stand-up on Hey Hey. And there was also The Rove Show. So there was a lot of opportunity for stand-ups to do stand-up. Oh, there's also In Melbourne Tonight. So there was a lot going.
Yeah.
And now, where can you do stand-up now? The galas, and they're very hard to get onto.
Yeah,
so,
Is it political correctness? Is that why we don't see as much stand-up on TV now, possibly?
I think so, but also it's just a trend in that there's not a lot of variety shows anymore.
Yeah.
So you just need... In England, they have a lot of stand-up on TV.
Yeah.
Like, look at Michael McIntyre and the Live at the Empire. They need more shows like that.
Yeah.
Where guys like you can get on and do your stuff.
Yeah, I've got an idea for TV, boys.
Live at the Grandview. Live at the Grandview. It's kind of like Live at the Empire, but it's not in a theatre, it's in a pub in the northern suburbs of Melbourne.
Well, we actually love pub comedy, though.
Pub comedy is great.
We love it so much that we started the Aussie Pub Comedy Tour.
Gigs with the Aussie. I did Lilydale. That was an Aussie Pub Comedy Tour.
But also, we spent a lot of time in the pub as kids, because back when we were growing up in the small country towns that we lived in, it was normal to bring your kids to the pub.
Because there was no babysitters.
You could just run around the bar, you'd have a raspberry lemonade, pack of chips and play pool.
Yeah.
But now it's a little bit not right to take your kids to the pub.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, the pubs, I love a pub. I prefer a pub to a cafe. To be honest... A chicken shop is my favourite place. But anyway, people always want to meet in a cafe. I'm like, I don't want to meet in a cafe. I can't be bothered.
Have you ever done stand-up in a cafe? Because we've all probably done... Cafes, restaurants, always tough.
Many times in a restaurant at a function.
Yeah.
At a function. And they can be hard because they're not made. And often they're like... They can either be really... I did one for an engineering company in Fahrenheit 400. It's like a sort of a posh pizza joint in Crown Casino. And the guy goes, we couldn't afford to hire out the whole place.
Yeah.
So we've only got this section of the restaurant. There was no wall or anything. There's people eating dinner with their kids. It was Monday night. And my manager or somebody was booking and said, look, I want to cancel it. And I went, no, bugger that. It's good money. I'll do it. I don't care. And I just went around. There was only about four tables eating dinner apart from the engineering people. And I said, guys, I'm going to do some stand-up over here. So I'm just... I couldn't swear anyway, but... Could be some adult themes. You're like, oh, great, bit of entertainment. This is awesome. So, fine.
You have the most awesome attitude when it comes to comedy, Dave. I've never seen you be negative about a show. Chris and I turn up and we're sweating bullets.
So I can be.
The microphones aren't right. The wire's not right. There's no stage. And you turn up and you always say, this is going to be great.
Well, I've just experienced everything in 30 years, I reckon. Yeah. But occasionally things still surprise you when you turn up and they go, you're on over there. And you go, what, over there? There's just nothing. What, over there? Like you're in a foyer of a building or something. You're on over there. What?
It's amazing the places you get asked.
I know.
We did a charity gig a couple of weeks ago. Well, we didn't actually do a stand-up show. We turned up to play cricket back home at Lavington Sports Ground. And when my friend originally rang me to come down and do a show, I said, well, where are we doing the show? He said, oh, we'll just on the ground after the cricket game.
Like, yeah, you can't do a show on the cricket ground.
There was people up on a hill that were about 200 metres away. I said, you're kind of throwing me under a bus here. I think it might be better if we just donate a pair of gloves and you can make some money.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Let's just not do it. Let's just, don't worry about it.
We got asked to do a gig at the Gold Coast once, and it was at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
And they wanted us to stand on the dolphin stage, which was 50 metres from where the punters...
Oh, wow. Like where they do their thing.
Yeah, yeah. And we said, look, if it's all good with you, can we possibly be in front of the crowd, if that's okay? And they said, oh, yeah, well, I guess you can be. Yeah.
I know, and they get a bit shitty too when you ask to just change their idea of what they were going to do. I did Luna Park once in a room, and every time the Big Dipper would come around, he would drain you out.
Yeah.
It was just... How did the SeaWorld gig go?
It went really well, but that's because we insisted on getting off this island that was 50 metres away and getting in front of the crowd.
Fucking hell.
But also, another tough gig that we've done over the years is on a boat. I don't know if you've ever
done gigs on boats. Booze cruises.
Yeah, the booze cruise. And the engine...
There's no stage.
Yeah, no stage. And sometimes the engine on the boat...
It's
so loud, it drowns out your punchlines.
I did a gig here on a boat once, and I said... And there was a support guy, and it wasn't going great. Because the engines were so loud, and they were like a Russian, all these really tough guys. And I said, can you turn off the engines when I go on? He goes, I turn them off for you. For him, no. For you, okay. I'm like, okay, thanks, dude. Yeah, boats are hard. Yeah. I did one in December last year for a train company in Sydney on the harbour. Yeah, and they had a little stage, and there was three, they're all trained, a lot of French people, they're a French train company. And they had me standing on a stage, but behind me was like a hole in the floor that went down to the next level. I thought, I'm going to fall through onto this walrus board. And the boat was rocking too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, great stories, great times. Thanks for coming on the podcast, guys. You got to go.
Absolute pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
It's good to see you. And follow the Nelson Twins on Twitter and Facebook and go and see them. They're absolute cack. And thanks for coming on, guys. Chris and Justin Nelson.
Good on you, Dave.
The Nelson Twins.